Thank you for listening to episode 203 of the 200 Churches podcast. Don't be that dummy pastor, that dummy leader. That's probably offensive. I shouldn't say it. But I've been that before. Don't be that person who makes things worse.
Right.
Who just doesn't value people and doesn't give people the time of day. They think that they're the leader. What they say goes.
My way or the highway.
God is leading through me. I'm the one in charge. If you've got that attitude, I would really implore you to, on your knees before the Lord, ask Him, is this the attitude, Holy Spirit, that you want me to have toward my people?
Welcome to the 200 Churches podcast, where every Wednesday we produce a fresh episode of ministry encouragement for pastors of small churches. Now here are two guys who, like you, serve in the trenches of small church ministry. The Ali and Fraser of Ministry Podcasts, Jeff and Johnny.
This is the 200 Churches podcast. I am Johnny Craig, and I am across the desk from my mentor and my friend,
Jeff Cady.
Jeff Cady, how you doing?
I'm doing good, Johnny. A little too fat, but other than that, I'm doing just fine.
That's very direct.
Hey, I'm confident in myself, you know? I mean, and I'm over 50.
You're over 50.
So we struggle with these things.
Yeah?
I'm struggling a little bit right now, but I'm optimistic.
This is what I have to look forward to?
No, you're never going to have to worry about it. You got different DNA.
Thank goodness.
You're just like a bundle, a ball of energy and effervescence. So you won't have to worry about that.
I love it. Perfect.
I'm doing fine.
Good. Good. That's good. Your wife, Liz.
Yes. Now, you told me I shouldn't have done this.
Well, it's whatever.
Last night we had, pastors, you'll love this. Last night we had an annual church business meeting.
Oh, it was
We only have one a year.
Yes,
we only have one a year. And my wife has been gone because my daughter adopted, and my wife has been with her, helping with this new baby, not home yet. You know, when you adopt, you got all these different things going on.
Yep.
And she's been gone for 16, 17 days now. And so I said to the people at the annual meeting,
Yes,
my wife and I are on a trial separation right now.
That was so cringeworthy.
Cringeworthy.
I was like, why?
Hey, everybody
happening?
Knows I'm joking.
Oh, yeah.
He doesn't think everybody
absolutely
knew it.
Just
you know,
man.
Maybe it was insensitive to those who maybe have suffered relational dissonance, and you know,
it's Jeff though. I mean, that's what people expect.
I couldn't help it, but I've been referring to her as my ex-wife.
No,
my ex-wife Debbie.
Oh, jeez.
You know. Well, if she'd come from the lower, you know, she's south of the Mason-Dixon line, and she won't come up for any reason.
I suppose.
Anyway, other than those things, Johnny, I'm doing great.
It's great.
I'm doing great.
It's crazy. We're getting right to it here, but your daughter is in Florida adopting. This is right around the same time that Kayla and I were about to head down to Florida to adopt last year. So crazy how that works out. We got an episode. It would be about 52 back from here, I suppose.
Yeah, so you're at about episode 150, maybe.
Yeah, where we talked about that, and that was a... That was a crazy thing. So anyway, so cool. So cool how God works. I love it.
So that's my second grandchild.
Yes.
A little girl.
Yeah.
Her name is Adelaine.
Yes.
I don't know if I said that the last time.
I don't know.
My grandson's name is Knox.
Yes.
K-N-O-X.
Cute babies.
Knox.
I have cute babies, and I'm telling you that those are cute babies. So.
I do have cute babies.
That's
grandbabies.
It's a good thing. It's a good thing.
I'm excited. Hey, today we've had some heavy hitting episodes in the last, I don't know, dozen, maybe 20, who knows, 30. We've had some really heavy episodes.
It's been like Evander and Holyfield out there.
And we want to talk today, we want to apply some of this stuff that it seems like has been coming up in the last few episodes.
Yeah, it feels like it's swirling in there. It's not always on the top. With Janine Brown it was maybe more.
Yep.
But it's kind of swirling, I think, in a lot of the episodes we've done.
It was there with Brian Zond.
Yes, it was.
It was also there with Ray Hollenbach.
Yep.
And not so much with N.T. Wright, okay?
He's on his own plane.
And again, man, I tell you what, we so enjoyed him, and so many of you have let us know that you haven't been encouraged and that you enjoy it. Even you, Daryl. We loved your email, man. We love your email. You're a bro now.
We want to have
thank you.
We want to have Tom back. I say it like that.
Tom. So I, oh, right. You mean NT.
I like to say it like that.
Tom NT Wright.
We like to have Tom Wright back. I think we will.
We will.
We will. So we will. It's going to be very fun. So anyways.
But we talked about stuff, the big word, differentiation of self.
Yes.
That was one of them. And conflict resolution, relationships, leadership, all this stuff kind of swirls together in the life of the pastor and in the life of the small church pastor.
Right.
So today we want to put some meat on the bones of some of this stuff and speak to you as a small church pastor and share some of what we've been going through, because I often say, I don't know if you say it so much, Johnny, as I do, that we are in the trenches of small church ministry.
Angela says it every week.
Right, and it's so true.
Yeah,
it's
it
the
is.
Truth.
It is.
Because I don't know what I'm on the other side of the microphone, even though I listen to our episode.
Sure.
As a third person listening, I still don't know what you think when you hear us talking.
Right.
As though everything is, you know, joyful and glee in Orange City, Iowa.
It's obviously the most premier small church in the nation.
Yeah. Oh, our church would be, right?
Tip top notch.
The small church guys. Yeah, yeah. No, but we are going through it. And every once in a while we talk about this. How much do we reveal about what we're going through?
Sure.
That would help you as a small church pastor to know, hey, you know, everybody goes through this.
I think the episode that always comes to mind when you say that is the time that we talked about the conversation that you and I had.
Yeah.
That always comes to mind for me. Yeah.
So, you know, if we would have pre-thought this a little more, we could have actually said what episode that is.
Check the email. I'll link up to it.
Okay.
Yeah. Check the email for this episode, and I'll link up to it. Get on the mailing list if you're not on there so you can get those.
The email that will come out on December the 7th?
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
Correct.
December 7th. Email for episode 203.
Yeah,
Johnny will have
links,
the link to that.
Cool
when you and I had the conversation.
The conversation, yeah.
That was 3 years ago, man.
Was
that long ago.
Wow, okay.
I'm pretty sure.
Well, it's real, though, is what you're saying. It's real. And we talk out of experience and out of the real things that happen to us. And you know, as a small church pastor, you might have only been in your church a year. You might have been in your church 20 years. You know, no matter where you are on that scale, that there is conflict in the church. It just is part of people living with each other. There's going to be conflict. So this is a serious conversation, and we go through conflict, and you go through conflict, and we want to deal with it in healthy ways.
Let's just set the context here for a second.
Yeah.
Johnny, we were just at a lunch with other pastors.
Yeah.
And one of the things that I shared was that you and I recently have gone through one of the greatest conflicts between each other.
We had a kerfuffle.
That we've had.
Yeah.
You know, it took us weeks to get through it.
Yeah.
And it created distance between us.
Yes, it did.
And it was difficult. It wasn't
it was.
Fun.
I can tell you that.
A lot of consternation.
Yeah.
And we were still actually producing episodes.
Well, like I said to you today, we're professionals. We still love each other just because we're in this moment with each other. And
love is kind of relative, Johnny.
We have work to do. Love is relative. Well, we had work to do that we were going to get done. And, it's not like we were at each other's throats,
No.
But there was it was a simmer in some way, I suppose.
Well, you know, you and I are, there's the term. What is the term people use?
Frenemies.
No, not frenemy. Okay, kindred spirits.
Yes, that's true.
You and I are kindred spirits in some way. And at the spirit level, there was some fracturing between us.
Dissonance, I think you said.
Yeah.
You're right.
And that's difficult. So seriously, those of you who are listening, you've got maybe associates, you've got staff members in your church.
Yep.
At the very least, you
volunteer
have church leaders.
Yeah.
Right, volunteer church leaders, maybe it's just your assistant or your secretary that you may have some conflict with.
Yeah.
And the truth is, Johnny, you said it, conflict is inevitable because relationships breed conflict.
Yeah, it just is the way that it is. You cannot put two people together, especially around an idea or a vision or a task, and not have some conflict break out in those situations. And especially, I would say, especially within ministry where our passions are felt maybe in the most extreme way. I'm the most passionate, right, about ministry of anything in my life besides maybe my family. And so when you're in that situation where you're in this area and you're pressing forward in areas that you're passionate about, and you come up against a disagreement or another way or an objection, I mean, that's a breeding ground for conflict to happen. It just is the way that it is.
So conflicts are inevitable. Relationships breed conflict, and conflict, here's a brainstorm. Conflict is not negative.
Yeah, I like that.
It's not negative.
It feels very negative.
It may feel negative, but it's what we do with conflict that either makes it negative or makes it productive.
Right.
Takes us apart or takes us deeper.
Yeah, that's a good way to say it. Conflict just is, and then we either take it and make it a negative or a positive, right? Some people like conflict. I suppose there's personality styles that are more like driven to conflict. But by and large, we don't like to feel at odds with other people. But I think that all conflict maybe happens around a difference of idea or something along those lines. That difference of idea in and of itself is not a negative thing. It's not like that has to erupt into an argument or a fight or whatever. That happens sometimes, but there's still a way to turn that into a positive after that. But yeah, conflict in and of itself is not a negative thing at its root or at its core.
Well, Johnny, you know, around our church, we've been talking a lot about love. And I believe you believe that love is primary.
Yeah.
It is our first calling in the New Testament by Jesus.
Yeah.
So it seems counterintuitive, so that when we run into conflict, we feel like that's going to deny us the opportunity to love, when in fact, conflict gives us the opportunity to go deeper in our loving relationships with other people.
Right.
And like we said, it's all about how we resolve the conflict. So I was thinking that in a healthy relationship, you have a greater opportunity to have a healthy resolution.
Yeah, that's true.
And in an unhealthy relationship, the opportunity for resolution is diminished.
I think that's absolutely true.
So I think if you've got a conflict, and Pastor, let me ask you, who are you in conflict with at your church? And to what extent has that caused angst, terrible feelings in you, stress, pressure, discouragement, maybe even bordering on depression, maybe even depression?
Sure.
You know, what conflicts in your life and in your small church are causing those things? And this is it. In small church ministry, we're going to have conflicts, and we're talking to you now about it because we think there are many of you out there right now that are discouraged because of opposition or some kind of relational issues in your church. And we want to, A, tell you you're normal. This this happens, right?
Right.
This happens. And if you think you can go to another church to get away from it,
That doesn't work.
That's probably, it's not going to happen. In fact, you're going to go to another church, there's going to be conflicts there.
Right.
So the
it's
issue
inevitable.
Is not, it's not getting away from conflict.
Right.
The issue is, how can you grow through dealing with it in a positive and biblical and kingdom-centered way?
Right.
Not to digging in your heels and getting entrenched, but actually working through the conflict.
That's the part where I would say love is a four-letter word, in that it's scary, right? And it's difficult. And sometimes we almost avoid it. Like, we know that it's true. We know that, that we believe it and everything, but like, we're so mad or we're so turned around in that moment that all of a sudden love feels like, don't tell me to love. You know what I mean? It feels like a nasty word to say. You throw it in my face now because I'm not doing it. And that's a heart issue for us. And so you might be in that space where you're saying, yeah, you love. Yeah, but did you know what they did to me? Or do you know what their ideas are about this? Or blah, 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 blah. Yeah, right. Love is scary. Love is not mishy, mushy, wishy-washy, Valentine's Day hearts. Love means getting in there on and around this stuff. And so we're going to encourage you to do that today, and we're going to try to give you some ideas and, I don't want to call them tips, but, we're going to talk around this thing. But love is primary, especially, I'm not going to say even when it's hard, I'm going to say especially when it's hard. When love is easy, we all do it. When love gets hard,
exactly.
That's the time where it's like time to really dig down into, right, the love of Jesus for us, and then how that impacts our love for others. So yeah, I'm just with you 100%.
So I'm thinking in your church right now, you know, you've got, let's say you got a church of 50 to 100 people, and you've got people that you see once a week. Some of them you only see once a week. Others you see only at church functions, and you're really not in them with them in the flow of life. You don't have relationships. And if there are conflicts, there's a lot of conflicts that you never see. They're there, and I don't mean to scare you, Pastor, but they're there, they're in your church, but you just never see them.
They're swirling, yeah.
Because people don't bring them to you. They don't talk about them. And then sometimes conflicts are brought to you. But if you don't have a connection, a good relationship with somebody, you're not going to be able to solve that conflict very well. So to just go to somebody you hear that has a conflict or a difference, a disagreement,
a difference
of opinion,
yeah.
To just go to them and start right away on the issue of the conflict is going to be so counterproductive.
Right.
Because in order to resolve a conflict, you have to make a connection with somebody. There's got to be a relational path between you. Somebody has to be listened to. They have to be loved. They have to be respected and cared for.
Yeah.
And then you can begin to open your heart and to share and to talk about this conflict.
Can I go on a limb and say a lot, I don't want to put a faux percentage on it, but a lot of these conflicts that swirl in our churches can be resolved just through connection.
Yes.
I had a woman come to my office and sit down, and she had some issues, and literally all we had to do was connect person to person, share our stories, right? Like share a moment, talk to each other and spend some time getting to know each other. And she left happy as a clam. I mean, and it's been really great with that woman since then. And so this issue, it went away with connection because suddenly I wasn't a boogeyman and she wasn't a boogeywoman. And all of a sudden we realized, wow, we've got a lot more going for us than against us. And it was good. I think a lot of conflict goes away with connection. But any hope you have of resolving conflict depends on that connection.
Pastor, have you ever had somebody come to you and say, hey, you know, you said such and such, and I had so-and-so, let's say Mary. I had Mary come to me, and she said, you know, why did Pastor say that? I think he meant, and then they give some input, and you're like, why would she think that of me? Why would she ever think that I meant that? I mean, doesn't Mary know me better than that by now? Doesn't she know that I would never say something like that and mean that? Have you ever had that happen to you? It's because you and Mary just need to sit down and talk.
Yeah.
You need to understand, why would she think that? What is it in Mary's life? What is it in her past? What is it in her relationships or her experience that would cause her to interpret your words the way she did?
Right.
You need to talk about that, and then you need to communicate and just spend that time communicating, talking, where you're listening, caring, you're respecting, you're giving her something, the most valuable thing in the world, time, and then you can express some, maybe an apology, a clarification, some affirmation of this person, some care. And Johnny, just like the lady that came into your office, through that you forge this relationship where, man, I know you a little bit better by now.
Yeah.
And Pastor, you have to ask the question, how well do my people know me? And the answer is going to come with, how much time have you spent with one-on-one personal conversation? I know that seems like it would take a long time, but unfortunately, there are no shortcuts to that.
You're right about that. I think about the people in our congregation who I've spent the most time with, and those are the people that I have fewer, you know, issues or
what
conflicts.
What a coincidence.
Or yeah, it's exactly right. I mean, because there's this relationship, and we know. I think this ties, the connections and a relationship, that ties to what I think is a very important point. And that is this call that we have to submit to each other, to have a posture of submission. Now, this is hard, right? I mean, I don't want to be submissive. I don't want to submit to anybody. I want to go out there. I'm right. They're wrong. I'm smart. They're dumb. I'm big. They're little Matilda. You know what I'm saying?
And so, I love that movie.
And so, you know, you get out and you don't want to do this submission thing. But this is the Bible, man. I mean, this is like the Bible's version of conflict resolution here.
Well, Ephesians 5:21,
yeah,
submit to one another out of reverence for Christ.
Right.
Is that only connected to marriage? Because it's right there in a marriage context.
I don't think so. But even if you said it was, you just have to go to Philippians 2 and say, you know, have the same mindset of Christ in your relationship with one another and consider others better than yourself, right? Like, this is what Jesus did. This is what we're called to do in our marriage relationships, which are our most primary relationships.
And by the way, it was kind of a rhetorical question.
I know it was.
Right? Yeah. I mean, I just want to be clear. It means for all of us in every relationship to submit to one another.
And we do it in all of our relationships. And taking this posture. Now, if love is a four-letter word, submit is a much filthier four-letter word, because you tell me to submit when I'm already, you know, a little bit angry or whatever, then I'm just going to be like raging. But like, that's the call of Scripture. It doesn't matter how you feel, really. It doesn't. You're still called to love. You're still called to submit. Yeah, but I'm mad. You know what? A lot of people get mad, like, too bad. This is the call. We are called to be Christ-like. This is what Christ does, and this is what we do as we follow him. I think that's tied to relationships. That's the foundation for relationships, is mutual submission.
And you've been having some of these issues in your church, Pastor. The reason we know that is because we have to deal with it in our church. The reason we know that you don't like to submit is because neither of us sometimes like to submit.
Right.
And the reason we know that you need to build a relationship with the person that you have the conflict with, if you don't have one, because if you have one, it becomes the means through which you resolve the conflict.
That's what happened to us.
But if you don't have a relationship, you're not going to solve the conflict, because the person needs to know you and know you care about them and know them. So
I would say you do that by submitting. Yeah.
Yeah. And submitting, I mean, let's get practical. Submitting your time to that person, submitting your desires and what you want to the process of reconciliation with this person, to where you may have to release some stuff. You may have to surrender and to sacrifice some in order to resolve the conflict, to restore the relationship. And this is what a lot of pastors leave churches over.
Sure.
And this is what a lot of people leave churches over, not just pastors, but congregants, you know, people in your church. There's a conflict. There's a disagreement. There's somebody with hurt feelings. There's an offense. And rather than be a big boy and big girl, be a spiritual member, follower of Jesus, member of the kingdom, and come together and talk and resolve, they jettison themselves.
Right.
They bounce.
Look.
Right? They leave.
This is the more deeply felt the issues that surround that conflict are, the more painful this is. We are talking, Jeff and I, right now, out of very recent experience. So I just want to say, you know, this is like a process that I've been going through here, and it has been painful at moments. You know what I mean? And it has been hard. And I know it's been hard for you, Jeff, and you wanted to just, you know, boot me in the rear and kick me out and throw me in the snowbank and whatever else. But you didn't, right? You were there, present, and all of these kinds of things, and calling me to be the same. And so I hope nobody thinks we're like being like glossy rose colored on this thing. Like, this will be hard, but in some ways that's how you know it's worth doing. Just do it. Submit yourself to this process, to conflict resolution. I'm not saying it will be easy. It hasn't been for me, but it is necessary for spiritual growth, for emotional growth, for the growth of the other people that you're in conflict with. I mean, all of that. It's necessary completely.
So as a pastor, you do have to engage all of the usual accoutrements of a relationship. For instance, you need to care about the other person.
Yeah.
Yes, Pastor, you're a pastor of a church now. You need to care about the other people. But think about it. Think about it, my friend. Think about the people that you're the most ticked off at right now. Think about the people that when you see them walk through the church doors, you say, oh, rats, I was hoping they wouldn't come this weekend. Think about the people that you're just, honestly, you're nursing some bitterness over them.
Sure.
Because they've just caused you a lot of pain.
Mm-hmm.
These are the people that Jesus calls us to care about. And if we could sit in their seat for a few moments or walk in their shoes for a few steps, we would understand just a little bit more how hurt they are by perhaps maybe even with something we said or something we did.
Yeah.
completely unintentional on our side to cause any hurt.
Right.
But if we could be in their place, we would understand, oh, okay. Now, of course, I didn't mean that.
Right.
But yes, I can see how you would be offended. I could see how you would feel hurt or feel left out of my life and ministry. And these are the things that happen when you engage, when you build that relationship, and when you communicate.
I would go even a step further, and this is a whole other podcast in and of itself, and say the things that are happening in your life that are in the background that are not even related to the conflict, that are still driving the conflict, stresses about your kids and their performance in school or lack of performance. And then, you know, I could go down a list, and then the things happening in the lives of the person you're in conflict with that are peripheral in the background. And you think, you know what, like, this shouldn't be that big of a deal. And well, it turns out they've got XYZ going on, and their marriage is in shambles.
The
and
story behind the story.
You know, they're in debt. And of course, they're mad about something in the church. It's the only thing they've got left. And when you get to that stuff, you know, this living system that we all share together, and that's, like I said, a whole podcast in of itself, then you're really going to see, oh, these connections and how this conflict has blown up the way that it has.
So the usual accoutrements of relationship.
Yes.
Caring. Listening,
yes.
Listening. That could be a whole podcast.
Yes, it could.
Listening is not passive.
No.
Listening is active. And so many of you, we don't even have to say that. You know that. But you know what? Maybe today you just need to be reminded. Hey, how have you been listening? How have you been listening to your spouse? How have you been listening to your kids? How have you been listening to people? Listening to hear, listening to understand, listening to learn. And these are things that show respect, care, and love to other people.
Yeah.
And here's another thing. We're going to get into this, and we've talked about this with Janine Brown.
Yep.
We ended up talking about it a little bit with Brian Zond.
Yep.
And maybe even with Ray. Differentiation of self.
Right.
And this seems like a big word, a big term.
Yeah.
But differentiation of self, when we're well differentiated, we can give a response, we can respond without reacting.
Right.
I just met with a couple yesterday, a young couple just recently married, and we went through an assessment together, and then we were reviewing the results of their assessment.
Yeah.
And I was telling them that if they would understand themselves and understand what causes them to respond in certain ways and to react in certain ways, it would help them to be able to respond and not react. But it's like a firecracker going off over here to your left while you jump and you turn your face that way and you put your hands up in the air and you're reacting. There's no time to think about it. You're just reacting.
Right.
And when we do this in relationships, it causes conflict.
Yep.
It doesn't solve conflicts.
No.
It doesn't resolve conflicts. And it further exacerbates them and it causes them.
Yes.
So this differentiation of self thing, we were looking for this. There's any number of books that talk about this, but we've got this book called The Leader's Journey, Accepting the Call to Personal and Congregational Transformation.
Yeah.
This is a great book. We would recommend it to you. There's a lot of really cool stuff in it. But in this book, the authors talk about differentiation of self. Johnny, you want to read just a little bit of that?
This all comes from Friedman and Failure of Nerve, which we've talked about before. So he talks about this. Differentiation is the ability to remain connected in relationship to significant people in our lives and yet not have our reactions and behavior determined by them, right? Jeff and I, we have a significant relationship here with each other. If Jeff does something to me or something is happening to Jeff and he's like going crazy, I'm using you because obviously this happens to me all the time, but if he's going crazy and he's all stressed out and worked up and angry or whatever, we can share a relationship, but I don't need to now get all worked up and angry and like fly off the handle too.
Right.
His emotional situation doesn't have to impact my emotional situation. I don't have to follow, you know, his lead in that way. So this says differentiation of self might also include the ability to steer one's own course in the turbulent waters of the living system, right? So you are not being buffeted by all of the waves of the situations and the people around you, right? You know your course and you're going to go on it. It involves being a less anxious presence in the midst of others' anxieties. So instead of when somebody is anxious and has these worries and troubles or concerns or whatever, instead of sucking you into that and pulling you into this vortex of like woe and concern and just like cranking the volume up to 11, instead it allows you to be a non-anxious presence and speak some truth and some calm into that situation. Which is obviously a good thing for pastors to be able to do.
You know what? I'm thinking about a lot of years ago, I was in an emergency room with a family, and the doctor came out to tell the family that this person has died. Okay? This person's husband.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. This person's wife and these kids' mother. They were adult children, but their mom, right? She was only 50 years old.
Wow.
She died. The family just had such a response and such a reaction. I can remember drinks flying across the room. I can remember people falling to the ground. Now, in that moment, it would have been helpful if I would have raised my hands in the air, shaking them violently and screaming and shrieking with them, right? I could be identifying with them and helping them. No, of course not, right? They look to the pastor or to whoever's there with them to be steady, to be stable, to empathize with them, maybe to put your arms around them and help them, to be that non-anxious presence within this climate of anxiety. So there's a picture for you. That's the picture in my mind.
Yeah.
We can only be helpful. We maintain the relationship. We don't cut it off.
Right.
But we're able to respond in ways that are helpful, not react in ways that make the matter worse.
Right. That's exactly right. You know, I think of Romans where it says, weep with those who weep, mourn with those who mourn.
Yeah.
I don't think you have to go to the same level of weeping and mourning, right? Like, you show empathy, you enter into those moments with people, but you don't pour on, you know, on top of what's already going on there. I think that's a big difference. So
another thing this author said was the ability to allow the life and teaching of Jesus to serve as one's compass rather than reading everyone else's emotional chart. And it's basically what I just shared about the emergency room.
Right.
Did you read that this last one, the ability to take responsibility?
No, it's you.
So the ability to take responsibility for one's own emotions and feelings rather than just, you know, letting yourself go and expecting others to deal with your emotions and feelings.
So this is what I did to you, Jeff, at the beginning of our conflict. That's the thing that launched us, launched 1,000 ships of conflict, is I didn't take responsibility and I just gave you all of my feelings to deal with. And it was a poor beginning. It was a poor beginning. And I self-justified doing it and this and that and the other thing. And he's supposed to be this friend and 4 years in and he can't handle my emotions. But it doesn't excuse it. It doesn't excuse it. And how quickly could we have maybe come to resolution that feels really good now and has been so helpful? How much more quickly could that have happened had I been differentiated? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
At the outset.
So this
That's
was
important.
Yeah, so this was a conflict that took us some weeks to resolve.
Yeah.
But here's the scary thing, Pastor. This is the scary thing. If you've been listening for any length of time, you know the relationship Johnny and I have. This relationship that you hear us have on the podcast is real. It's not fake.
Yes, it is.
You know,
real.
It's not fake. We don't, you know, feign this.
No.
I love him like a son, and we work like brothers.
Yeah.
And it's been great. But it took us several weeks to resolve this conflict. And that's in what I would consider a best case scenario relationship. So if you expect you're going to set the timer on your desk for 30 minutes, you're going to have the person come in and sit down and say, okay, we're going to resolve this. We're going to fix this right now.
Right.
We're going to take care of this right. We're going to get this over with. Makes me think of last summer when I went home and thought I was going to get my dad into a nursing home in a week.
Sure.
It doesn't happen that way.
Right.
People are infinitely more valuable than any task or any commodity. People are the most valuable. We as pastors, we ought to be committed to putting things on hold and giving the time necessary to communicate and to care for one another and the time necessary to ride out the storm to get to the calmer seas. And if you don't ride it out, you can just let the ship sink. Yeah. But you gotta be willing to put the time in of communication and care. And it's helpful if you're differentiated. It's helpful if you're not controlled by the other person's emotions and responses, but you can bring a non-anxious, a calming presence
right.
into the situation
right.
to become productive and not destructive or right. Maybe a little better, non-productive, counterproductive.
Counterproductive, right.
You don't want to be counterproductive.
Exactly.
So this is again, the book that we read from, and this book is phenomenal. There's a lot in this book.
Yeah.
The Leader's Journey,
mm-hmm.
Accepting the Call to Personal and Congregational Transformation. Now, we talk about a lot of books on this podcast, and none of them are ours. And again, I say, we're not affiliates. We don't make money off any of this stuff.
We should be affiliates.
A Failure of Nerve.
Yep.
Tell me the... Or Friedman.
Friedman, yep. Friedman.
A Failure of Nerve also talks a lot about this. But you guys, you women, this is hard.
Yeah.
This is hard. It takes time. It takes commitment. It takes care and love and devotion to others to actually work through this. I'm sorry to say this, but so many churches, they're not willing. They're not willing to be vulnerable and transparent and open with each other.
Hmm.
They're not willing to risk
right.
rejection and continued hurt and perhaps failure. They're not willing to invest the time to build these deep and authentic relationships that the blessings on the other side of all that work, the blessings are phenomenal. They're huge. But
right.
it all takes time.
Right.
There are no shortcuts in this process.
Yeah. Yeah. That's true, and we wish there were, and you know, we want it to go better or faster. I will say, once you can get on the right path, right? You're at the beginning of the path, but at least you're on it, right? You can't shortcut your way to the end of the path, but get on the path. You know what I mean?
You can shortcut your way. It's just going to come up again because you haven't resolved it.
Sure, right, exactly.
You haven't fixed the problem.
Yeah, so get on this path, you know, like we said, conflict in and of itself isn't bad. The greatest things, the greatest innovations, the greatest directions for your church can come from conflict handled well. You know, we all are in those moments and those situations where the conflict has not been handled well, and now you've got to do the work of resolution. And we hope that this has been helpful for you in thinking through that in your own church, thinking through how to approach situations and people in your own church, and remembering that love and submission, right, are so primary to this whole thing, and that valuing people over tasks, over outcomes, over everything is the most important thing.
Yeah, don't be that pastor. Don't be that leader. Don't be that dummy pastor, that dummy leader. That's probably offensive. I shouldn't say it. But I've been that before. Don't be that person who makes things worse.
Right.
Who just doesn't value people and doesn't give people the time of day. They think that they're the leader. What they say goes.
My way or the highway.
God is leading through me. I'm the one in charge. If you've got that attitude, I would really implore you to, on your knees before the Lord, ask him, is this the attitude, Holy Spirit, that you want me to have toward my people? Because Jesus gave us, as pastors, people too, yeah, everybody, but this is pastors, he gave us a command. He said, love others as yourself. Love your neighbor as yourself.
Yeah.
Over and over. The whole law is fulfilled in this, when you love another, when you love your neighbor. There's a lot of verses that talk about that. They're verses, but we're talking about real life,
yeah,
real people. Don't be the pastor that messes this up. And if you're messing right. it up, there's always time.
There's time. There's time.
Turn it around.
Yeah.
Love your people.
Yep.
And again, today we're just talking about conflict being inevitable, relationships breeding conflict.
Yep.
And a pastor who doesn't want to grow, who wants everybody to line up with him or her.
Sure.
Boy, I feel bad for that church, and I don't want to be that leader. I don't want to be that pastor. And I know, Johnny, you don't either.
I do not.
My faith in relationships and love, biblical, godly love, has been proven strong. You know, once again, even in our relationship,
yes.
you know,
yeah.
as as we're going to have future conflicts.
Sure.
And we know just a little bit better how to deal with them.
Yes, absolutely.
But they're going to come again.
Sure.
So, well, we could talk about this all day.
Yeah.
This is episode 203. Next week, I could tell you who's going to be on next week, but I think we're talking to two people, and I'm not sure which one we're going to pick. But we've got some really fantastic guests coming up.
Perfect.
And we're looking forward to
it. I'm excited, man. That'll be for you next week on the 200 Churches Podcast.
We hope you've been encouraged and inspired by this episode of the 200 Churches Podcast. If you haven't already, subscribe at 200churches.com and receive the guy's free PDF download called Our 7 Favorite Ministry Resources. You can count on us to be back next Wednesday with another brand new, shiny episode just for you. Until then, may God bless you as you lead and love the people in your 200 church.
Okay, well, I'm already taking a break now, so this is going to be it.
Did you want to say you can't have conflict if you don't love some? Like, there is no conflict without connection? Was that where you were going?
All I wrote there was that love is primary.
Oh, okay. You're jumping ahead to the, like, the steps already to conflict resolution.
No, this was one more thing that I just wanted to...
Okay.
There was something recently. Oh, when I said he was the right reverend.
Yeah?
I never got the pun.
Oh, N.T. Wright?
Yeah. You got it right away and you laughed. It was about the fourth or fifth time I listened to it that I realized what you were laughing at.
Hilarious. The right reverend. I thought, he's the most right. Didn't I say that?
Yeah,
the most right reverend.
I never got it. I edited it, listened to it once. Probably the second time I listened to it as a third person, I got it.
That's so funny.
So,
well, it's hard work over there.